said it before, but those who were here this morning, didn't the Contrells just minister in a mighty way? Amen. Missionaries are a special breed. Was raised overseas and just growing up with my father, who is just another unique, amazing, great minister, having faced so many things that we maybe don't see here in the United States. And it just makes me feel at home when we have fellow missionaries expressing their burden, showing us what's going on, what God is doing across this world. We want the Brother Contrell to come right now. We're going to be doing his presentation. We'll take an offering after that. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everyone. We could all stand. The Bible speaks of a woman with an issue of blood. They say for 12 years she was bound up, bent over, in excruciating pain. She was considered unclean, so for her to go out to the streets, it was very detrimental. Nobody wanted to touch her. Nobody wanted to go near to her. But she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Maybe you understand this or maybe you don't, but at the bottom of the garment of Jesus Christ was his prayer shawl. And at the end of his prayer shawl were knots. And the way that the knots were tied signified his place in the community. So when she got up that morning and she pressed her way through the crowd, and she got a hold of the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, she had grabbed on to the raw power and the authority of God himself. She had placed herself in a position to receive something from the King. She had purposed in her heart that where she was not acceptable. And it was time for her to move to the next dimension of life, which for her was health. And so she put herself in a position to receive something from the King. I believe that everyone in the place today has come here to receive something from Jesus Christ. But unless you place yourself in a position to receive something from the Master, he will just pass you by. I don't know what your position is. My position is this. Can we just put ourselves in a position to receive something from God tonight? Father, we love you. Father, we feel your presence here. You are walking by. We are desperate for your touch. Father, we raise our hands in total surrender to you. Lord, as a vessel of honor that you can fill up. Fill us up, Lord, with your power tonight. Fill us up, Lord, with your blessings tonight. God, oh God, deliver us, Lord, from the things of this world. We put ourselves in a position. Can you just worship the Lord? Father, we love you. Many people wait to receive something from God, but never put themselves in a position to receive something from God. I've never seen anybody baptized in Jesus' name without getting wet. I've never seen anybody speak in tongues without saying a word. And if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name tonight is your night. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, tonight is your night. Put yourself in a position to receive something from God, and he's faithful to fulfill that need. You may be seated. It's a great honor to be with you again here tonight. Thank you so much, Bishop Grant, for allowing us to come. We're very, 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 very excited to be here for my Burkina Faso family that is here, Bakawena. have any Congolese in the house? Buona Safiwe? Anybody in the house of Nigeria? Mimosa. And if we have any English speakers in here, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Africa, in Burkina Faso, which is where we're from, and some of this you've already heard, some of this you haven't heard. Burkina Faso, where we're from, it's 50% hardcore Islam, 40% voodoo, but 100% Jesus Christ. And God is doing a great, great work in Burkina Faso, West Africa. I didn't tell you this morning, but we had a 500% increase in the church in Burkina Faso, West Africa, our last term. We graduated 30 from Bible school. We went from 5 to 21 licensed ministers. God has taken the lid off of French-speaking West Africa, and He's pouring out His Spirit. He's a good God. He's a good God. In Burkina Faso, wherever we travel in a village, and I do a lot of camping out in the village. I like to camp out. I love camping out in the mountains of Colorado because that's cool. But I love camping out in the village in Burkina Faso because it's hot. We average around 125, 130 degrees sometimes, so it's smoking hot. But we're really excited to be there. But God's doing a great thing. But when we go out to the village, whether we're handing out humanitarian stuff or whatever, there's always a parable tree. And the parable tree is right in the middle of the village. And that is where the leaders would meet and tell their stories. It's where the kids would come and get taught by the elders. And they always had some type of a parable. And so I picked out my top five parables for tonight. The first one is, your mother is the bodyguard of your father. The second one is, it takes a breast for a child to know its mother, but it takes a mother for a child to know its father. I love this one. If she can't dig or cook, send her back to her father. And this one really hit me. It says, a fatherless boy is no better than unburied seed. I want to speak to the men of these great congregation today. A fatherless boy is no greater than unburied seed. There are young men in this congregation right now that's looking for a spiritual father. Someone who will disciple them in the ways of truth. There are young women in this place that are looking for someone to stand up and be a spiritual mother to them. Because without a spiritual mother or without a spiritual father, I'm talking to the faithful of this church. Without a spiritual mother or a spiritual father, it's like a seed that never makes it to the ground. Because when you disciple and when you pour yourselves into others, you begin to water the ground that they live in, and eventually you'll see a sprout come up. And that tiny plant, as small and insignificant as it may seem, one day will bring forth much fruit. And we clap our hands to the Lord. I'm going to ask my sweet wife if she'll come and join me. She is sweeter than Mississippi sweet tea.
Praise the Lord. Oh, again, another fun-filled, spirit-blessed church to be a part of. I am so excited. My third service today. How blessed am I? I love it. This is awesome. I want to thank you, first of all, for your partnership. You all are already partnered with us in Burkina Faso. You've been investing in our country. Some of you may not have known that. Some of you may have. But we appreciate so much for your connection with us already financially. We thank you for those that gave this morning, that were a part of giving to the Bible school, to our project fund. It's vital that we build that Bible school, and I know that God will bless you for those of you that gave this morning already. Thank you. I am going to share with you a little bit again about Burkina Faso tonight. I am giddy with excitement to take you into a village with me. I am going to do the best that I can do to let you take that journey. But before I go there, I want you all to really understand, just take a second to get it, that God has you here tonight for a reason. It's not happenstance that you are here in this service. It's not happenstance that my husband and I were brought here. God brought us here because of your prayer connection with our country. It is your opportunity tonight to step outside of yourself, to step outside of your own need, and to pray for people that you don't know. And when you can engage and pray in intercession and touch the life in prayer through the Spirit for somebody else that you don't know anything about, what happens is when you go there, and you may not feel a whole lot because of the visual and not knowing on a personal basis, but when you can press through and let your words become speaking in tongues and stepping into that spiritual realm, you're stretching your faith. You're stretching your faith like a giant rubber band. It's being stretched, it's being stretched, it's being stretched. Then we come back in and you're praying for your own needs. When you're praying for your own city, that faith is lifted. It's easy to pray. And you know that God is going to do a great thing because you've already stretched your faith. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. So tonight, you have that opportunity. You're going to stretch your faith and you're going to pray for people that you don't know. Okay? So tap into it. Don't let the enemy keep you from pressing in and feeling after the Lord. If you feel like shouting out, if you go into an intercession, have liberty. Break through. We don't care. Interrupt the service. We want intercessory prayer. We need it desperately. So when we go into a village, we get in that car and we are so excited. We are just pumped. I love it. There's not a time that I dread it. I can't wait to get out there. So we may drive 2, 3, 4 hours. We're on bumpy dirt roads. There's sometimes we're not even on a road. We're just going because we know the direction. Or we'll have a pastor with us that will be telling us, turn here at this tree, turn left here at this rock up here. He knows where we, I don't know how he knows, but we end up getting to a village. So we will get there, and we will see little girls carrying their water jugs on their head, or they'll be having a cart, they'll be pushing their water. They push it for miles sometimes, and there are always the little girls that are hauling water. That's the first thing that you'll see coming into a village. You'll see the huts. This is the distance. You'll see this is how the huts, their family is living inside of these. And they'll have 4 or 5 of these. And then they're connected with the wall. And inside the compound, there'll generally be 1 husband to 4, 5 wives, 16 to 25 children. Yes, we're Islam. This is what we contend with. And in these compounds, and you'll have these all over that will comprise of the village. A village will sometimes be maybe 300-400 people all the way up to a couple thousand people. It just depends on the size of the village and the family. We'll see the women and the family members all together working out in the fields. Now remember, we're in desert. We don't have tractors. We don't have that heavy machinery like you all do here in Wisconsin. These big lands, they only can produce what their family members can harvest and what they can water by hand. So everybody works in the fields. little children. They make little tools for little children. This is what this little guy was doing when we drove up, working with his family, out harvesting dirt, breaking up the dirt clods, trying to break up the ground, pulling the weeds, working very hard. You'll see under the parable tree, like my husband said, the chief of the village with a bunch of old men sitting underneath, just visiting, fellowshipping, maybe eating a cola nut. Brother Claude, eating that cola nut? Yes, and they'll just be there drinking and just visiting. You see the women maybe grouped together cutting vegetables with an open fire. Their kitchen, everything is outside. There's no electricity, no water, running water. Now, I'm not here to exploit and to try to make you feel sorry for the Burkina Bay. They are a happy people, but they're oppressed. They don't have the blessings of living like the Americans live. Okay? But God is going to bless them, and they are coming to know truth. So when we enter into this village, these are some of the things that we see. But when they see our car, everything stops. Everything stops. It's like the movement just stops. And they all just gravitate towards where the car is being parked. And they will come and they will greet us. And they will welcome us. And it's such an honor. The children will just come running. They love to have us come. And we, of course, we will always bring corn, maize. We try to bring grain during the difficult times. We'll bring water filters for Compassion Ministry, trying to help them to clean their water. Sometimes we bring trees. We do whatever we can that will try to help them to be able to just minister to some of the needs. But we also, when we come, we bring the joy of the Lord. We bring a happiness about us. And they see that. And they want to know what we're about. They desire, they're hungry to see. They look and they don't understand. What is it that is, why are you so happy? So they are curious. And we just try to serve and try to love them. Can you show the pictures of the women with me? Some of us seen this morning. This is what happens when we go in. Now, this lady here in this picture, she is what, when we go into a village, you see the somberness on her face. You see the serious, just sad. They have, for the most part, this is what we see when we go in. For the most part. That's why I chose this picture. Because it really, to me, this is what the Islam and some of the things that we come up against. Okay? But when we go and they see the joy of the Lord and what we represent, when they see Jesus, we are able just to say, it is Jesus that gives us this joy. And it opens the door to be able to speak into them. And we are so thankful for that. So thankful. We do all of these things because, and when the chief of the village, he will be so thankful. Never have we left when we have come just to fellowship and just to get acquainted and to bring gifts. Have we never have left without the chief giving us something back? Never. Sometimes I will leave with chickens. Sometimes live chickens, that is. Sometimes I leave with a goat. Sometimes I leave with the beautiful material to make a new dress. And every once in a while, we get land. We get property. And that is when we get to go and build a church. The chief always knows if he gives us land, we're going to put a church here. And he is okay by that. And that has happened 4 different times. We have planted 4 church villages now. Yes, yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But when we have these village churches and the land is given to us and we build the church, we need leaders, we need pastors to go into it. And that is why the Bible school is so vital. That is why we have to have the Bible school and to be able to train and to lead and to develop. So this is what I'm presenting tonight as a project fund. We are these pictures here, these canvas prints, for $250 or more for a donation. The money goes directly to the building of the Bible school that we're trying to receive. And these portraits here would be for sale or for a donation, $250. Now, this little guy, I want to tell you his little story. Like I said, he was out cultivating with his family. And sure enough, when he saw our car, he was one of these little guys that saw the car and literally his hoe went way up in the air and he just came running as fast as he could. And he came and sat right in the middle of the children that were already gathered and he just sat there very, very attentive. The whole entire service, that is how that baby looked. He just was so in tune to know what we were saying about Jesus. And what was awesome, along with that little baby and about 80 other children that day, was the very first time they heard about Jesus Christ being their Lord, God, Savior. Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes, we're so thankful. That happens all the time for us. All the time. When we go into villages, it's an amazing thing. So this is why that picture is so important to me. And then this little guy, Sayidu, my husband told the story this morning. He was a young little boy that lived next door to us. His family was Islam. He had four moms, 16 children. His dad died suddenly on a motorcycle accident. And he actually, for some reason, he was the neglected child. He was the one that just, for some reason, couldn't go to school. He wasn't getting the food like the other children. He actually was a shepherd boy, and he herded the sheep and the cows all day. From sunup till sundown, this is what little Sayidu did. Would you like to tell the story, or do you? Okay, because I know he's wanting to preach tonight, so he told me to tell the story. So I'm going to try to make it quick, because I want to get to the word. But Sayidu's little life was very difficult. His dad was killed. His mother remarried another Muslim man. And in doing so, in the Islamic culture, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, the new husband will not take on the children of the other marriage. And so this mama left Sayidu. And so now he has no mom, no dad. Another mother is taking care of him, but it's a bad situation. It's not good. Still not going to school. We were actually able to start carrying him to school, to church with us. And we were so thankful for this opening. We had been trying to get into the family, had a hard time because of the dad and the Islam. But he started going to church with us. And after some time, this little baby was the first child ever to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and receive the gift of the tongues in Jesus' name. Yes, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for that. But what you all really need to understand is that this was a breakthrough for us. Children are marginalized in our country. Women and children really don't count. It's getting better. Things are getting better. But it is a very hard thing. And for children, even in our own churches, they weren't getting a lot of attention, and children's ministry just was not happening. And our pastors even were not giving the children's ministry any attention. So when they saw him firsthand received the Holy Ghost, it opened their mind, it opened their eyes to see what God can do for them, for the children. And now children's ministry is taking off, and we're so thankful for it. It was a breakthrough. It was a breakthrough. But this little baby, he started coming to church, doing great. His life is turning around. He would come over to our house 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30, waiting to get to church with us. Wouldn't leave the house until 9, but it didn't matter. He walked 6 miles to come to our house every Sunday. That child is faithful. Walked 6 miles one way to be at church. Goes to church with us, learning about Jesus. The joy of the Holy Ghost was all over this child. I mean, he's just bouncing off the wall. He's loving Jesus with his whole heart. Doing really, really great. This last year, he had climbed a tree to pick some raisins to eat. The child took a fall, fell about 20 feet. Did not know this. This happened on Sunday. My husband, his half-brother came and said to my husband, Sayidu has fallen. He's like, is he okay? He said, yeah, I think he's just got some scratches. He's okay. He said, okay, well, let's go check on him tomorrow. So we went My husband went and checked on him on Wednesday. This happened on Sunday. That child was more than just scratches. He had broken his leg in three places. He had a compound fracture in his arm. The bone had broke through the skin. The mama that was taking care of him just wrapped it up in tissue, in material, tied it off, and his hand literally was rotting. And he had laid there. When my husband walked into the courtyard, he laid there on a mat, dry blood, flies. It was horrific. He was semi-conscious, dehydrated. He was dying. This child was close to death. We scooped him up. He took him to the clinic. We were with him for a week. A week just trying to get his body to the point where he could have surgery. The doctors came to us. We were the ones that were there. Nobody else was with him. He had no family. Nobody that was there. But this is what we do. This is who we are. We stay connected to our people as much as we can. The doctors asked my husband, and we are the ones that had to decide to amputate that baby's arm to save his life. But God spared him. We carried him home after the surgery. We wanted him just to have some time to recover without being out in the village where it's a little dirtier. So we kept it clean. The situation was clean environment for him. He healed. But do you know, within 3 to 4 days, that child was up gimping around on that cast trying to learn how to walk without his left arm. With the joy of the Holy Ghost. He had the biggest smile. He was so, that Holy Ghost joy just was coming back and giving him strength and helping him to carry on with his life. Yes. And I say that to you. I say that not for you to feel sorry for Saidu. He's going to be a great preacher someday. God has spared his life. He's going to be used as a great leader in Burkina Faso. Without a doubt, I know that this child is going to be a leader in our country. But I say it to you, I tell you his story, because I want you to remember how the Holy Ghost is our strength. The Holy Ghost is our joy, and it carries us through hard things. It'll carry you through difficult situations. It will. You just got to let it. In Jesus' name, we're going to show you the DVD. Oh, now let me tell you real quick, when we were coming back for deputation, a missionary nightmare. We hate coming home or to America. It's not that we hate it. We just hate leaving our people. But I was so worried about Saidu. I was like, God, what are we going to do with this baby? I mean, he's close enough where I could keep an eye on him. I knew he was getting food, and I was just a nervous wreck over it, and I just kept praying and asking God. And do you know, God quickened our mind and helped us to remember of a lady that we had actually met on an airplane coming from St. Louis, going to Ouagadougou. She runs an orphanage in Yako. In Yako. You know where Yako is? She runs an orphanage there. We called her up and said, Ruth, we have a situation. We told her Saidu's story, and she said, let me get back with you. 2 days later, she calls and says, yes, we have a place for Saidu in the orphanage. Now, I know you guys think, oh, orphanage, that's not good. That's not so good. But believe me, it is good for him. He got to sleep. Got to see where he was going to sleep. He was sleeping on a mattress for the very first time in his life. Yes, he's getting 3 meals a day. He's getting education. He's got a family now that is helping him to know about Jesus. Yes, he is fifth in his class. Fifth in his class now. And he's the best soccer player in the orphanage. Yes. We just found that out. So we are so excited. God's hand is on him. We know it is. But if you'd like to participate in giving for the Bible school, that is what these prints are about. They're to give the money towards the building of the Bible school that we so desperately are needing. So we're going to show you the DVD again. I'm sorry for those that is going to be a repeat. But we don't have popcorn tonight, but we'll just have to move through that and enjoy.
The Lord has done. Burkina Faso and Niger, located in French West Africa, are experiencing an unprecedented move of the Holy Ghost. Burkina Faso and Niger are landlocked countries in the sub-Saharan continent of West Africa. With a population of 17 million, Burkina Faso is 50% Islamic, 40% animist, which is voodoo, and less than 10% Christian. Niger, just to the east of Burkina Faso, has a population of 16 million. They are 99% Islamic. Both countries are experiencing great growth. Both countries are pressing north into radical Islamic areas. Both countries are needing the great grace of God. There is no greater joy than to witness the spreading of the Word of God. Lives are being changed. Young men and women are being called into ministry. Radical conversions and healings are taking place. The book of Acts recorded daily conversion, and we are seeing just that in West Africa.
Welcome to West Africa. We are so excited for what God is doing in Burkina Faso in Niger.
It's Sunday morning. We're in the neighborhood of Yamtanga, Burkina Faso. Behind us is the church. They've started their worship service. As you can tell, they're full of faith. So come with us as we journey in the countries of Burkina Faso and Niger.
Come on!
From the north to the south of Burkina Faso and into Niger, we are seeing a measure of grace that we've only prayed about. Children are being baptized and are receiving the Holy Ghost. In Islamic countries where women and children are marginalized, this is unheard of. What God has done in 4 short years in Burkina Faso, other denominations have not been able to see in decades of working here. His great grace is working among us.
Niger River is a river full of life. People are coming and going, and they are doing their laundry, they're taking baths in the river. It's an amazing place. But one thing that is missing here is the Word of God. It's a 99% Muslim country, and people are truly searching for God. And although we are on the Niger River, it's exciting, and it's a lot of fun, but there is something that these people need. That's truly
Lord.
Salvation.
Salvation.
As we travel and as we move around West Africa, we see many things that are exciting and fun to behold. But the reality of it is that there are 14 million people here that need Jesus Christ. And unless somebody goes and somebody speaks and somebody preaches and somebody gives the word, they will all be lost. And so just pray with us. The country of Niger, a land of beautiful people that just need to know Jesus Christ.
17 million in Burkina Faso, 16 million in Niger, a majority of radical Muslim and animist beliefs. How will we reach them? How can they effectively make the transition from deception to truth? God has sent us to these countries so that they may be reconciled back to Him.
Discipleship is the key to growing a strong foundational
apostolic church.
And God is doing just that. Over this past term, we have graduated 30 students from the GATS program, and God has tripled our licensed pastors. God is doing a great, great, great thing here in Burkina Faso and in Niger. Behind us is the property for the Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center. In this center, we will teach, we will preach, we will equip, and we will win Burkina Faso in the name of Jesus Christ.
The Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center will be the epicenter for our training and discipleship. This 12,000 square foot campus will not only serve as a Bible school, but also as a facility to serve our community. First, the building will house a worship sanctuary that will seat approximately 500 members. Expansion is possible when needed. Three Bible school classes will serve in training our students with the GATS program.
A large library and language center will aid in student study and also to help the 87% population who cannot read. Literacy is a major concern in the church, as most of our members cannot read the Word of God. A preschool will be instituted as a service to our Awaga community. There will be three classrooms, a kitchen, and a large creative art room. God has given us the vision. God has given us the plan. Now it is time to build.
Every missionary knows that the key to reaching their nation and regions beyond is Bible school training. The Wendell Gleason Memorial Training Center is going to provide such a facility. Even though the price of it is $250,000, it is $250,000 that is an investment for the future. Generations to come will hear the apostolic truth, and the apostolic message will be perpetuated long after the Cantrell's ministry is fulfilled in Burkina Faso. Please consider joining with us to see this vision come to pass, a training center that will educate the next generation of apostolic leaders. On behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our missionaries Ken and Jenny Cantrell, I want to say thank you for considering this worthy vision and burden that they carry deep in their heart. May the Lord bless you as you prayerfully consider your part. God bless you.
This is Moni. He's the first Muslim we converted. This is Kinda. He's our night guard. He was Muslim. Now he's speaking in tongues. Let's go ahead and stand, and we are going to pray again for this country on the map that we brought home. We carried this map home from Burkina Faso. It traveled our first deputation with us. We carried it back to Burkina Faso. Our pastors have laid on this map and interceded on this map. Our pastors' wives have cried many a tears over their country. We brought it back to the United States for you to pray on. And so I'm going to ask my wife to help. Bishop Grant, if you could come. And Pastor Claude, your wife, and Elder Sister, if you're here, and then the rest of the church, if you'd like to come, we're going to pray for three things. The first thing we're going to pray against is we're going to pray against the spirit of Islam. Would you come? Come on. Come on in. Let's start moving, and we can get this done. We're going to pray against the spirit of Islam and voodoo. We're going to loose the mercy and the grace of God. And then finally, we're going to pray that the finances for this Bible school will come in. We need about $80,000 in the next 3 or 4 months. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in this great country. I thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you for truth. Father, Lord, by the authority of the Word of God, according to the power in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the spirit of Islam, and we bind it in the name of Jesus. We take authority over this nasty religion, God, that has gripped even our nation here in the United States. And we curse it and we send it back to where it comes from. We send revelation and we speak truth into the minds of the Muslims. God, you know that they are moved by dreams and visions. I pray that, yea, even tonight, that the Muslim would receive a vision from you. Go to them in their sleep. Reveal yourself to them in the name of Jesus. We pray against the spirit of fetish and of the voodoo religion and of cursing and of sacrifice. And we invoke the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every village. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every little town. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every mosque. Let the Holy Ghost fall on the mosque. Let the Muslim, as they seek the face of Allah, get a revelation of who you are. Let the Muslims be the greatest missionaries and pastors and evangelists that this world has ever seen. We plead the blood of Jesus upon Burkina Faso. We plead the power of Jesus upon Burkina Faso. In the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for this Bible school right now. Lord, we need about $80,000. In the next 3 or 4 months to get this project completed. I pray, God, that you would open up the windows of heaven. God, and you would speak to your people. God, oh God, and let a measure of sacrifice come upon the American church. Lord, we will not grow without your word. We will not move forward without your word unless your word is taught and preached. God, we are nothing in this country. Only your word will make us successful in this end time. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? And shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah! Turn to your seat. Stay standing. We're going to get to the Word of God real quickly here. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. If you've got it in the NIV, I'll take that. If you don't have it, King James is obviously perfect. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. If you could turn your iPads to that, that would be great. In the NIV, it says it like this. It says, Joseph is a fruitful vine or bough. Even a fruitful vine near a well or a spring whose branches run over the wall. Joseph is a fruitful vine, even a fruitful vine planted near a spring whose branches run over the wall. You may be seated. We are a part of the greatest thing to ever happen in the mankind, in the history of mankind. The Apostolic Church is alive and well. The Apostolic Church is growing by leaps and bounds. People in Africa, Asia, Europe, and all over the world are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People are being baptized in Jesus' name all over the world. And I may say that I know of one that's going to be baptized tonight after this service in Jesus' name. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord? Hey, listen, I remember what it was like when I got my sins washed away. I remember the day when God forgave me of my sins. I remember what my mama was doing. She was jumping and shouting and running, saying hallelujah because her 26-year-old son just got saved. Tonight, let me say it again. Tonight, somebody's going to be baptized in Jesus' name. I can tell you this. All of heaven's not going to out-worship me when somebody gets saved. The there's something that you've got to fear or kind of watch and pay attention of when you're in a revival church like this is. You may feel that it's just normal for people to be baptized and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It may be just another thing, and as they're baptizing, we're heading to Pizza Hut. Let me tell you what, everybody that's baptized in the name of Jesus, that's a gift to this church. Don't take the redemptive power that God is doing in this church for granted. Because the moment you start taking it for granted, He'll lift His hand. The minute you stop rejoicing when somebody repents of their sins and is baptized in Jesus' name, the day that you say, oh, that's just normal, we're just going to go and do our own thing, you're going to see God move His hand. But a thankful church that can worship God every time a sinner repents of his sins. A thankful church that worships God every time somebody goes down in Jesus' name. A thankful church that worships God every time somebody is gloriously filled with His Spirit will continue to be a growing church. My wife and I were shocked when we returned back from the States to find how reality TV had taken over the world. The Biggest Loser. Who wants to be the Biggest Loser? They've got a reality TV show called Desperate Housewives. Who wants to watch some ridiculous show about Desperate Housewives? And then they got these guys with beards. You can't go into Walmart. We're seeing Duck Dynasty all over the place. Reality TV. People have checked out of reality and are living vicariously through the sins and the problems of other people. I don't know about you, sis. I don't know about you, bro. But I got enough drama in my life. I don't need that type of drama added into my spirit. But what this world is looking for is the reality of Jesus Christ. What this world is looking for is an experience that will radically change their life. What this world is looking for is a place where our backslidden sons and our backslidden daughters can come back to an apostolic altar. And let me tell you what, our kids are coming back. And they're not only coming back, but when they repent of their sins, God's got an apostolic anointing waiting for them at the door. Your backslid sons and your backslid daughters are going to be the greatest preachers and soul winners that Madison, Wisconsin has ever seen. Hallelujah. One thing I've learned in my life, you gotta see it before you can have it. I can see your kids worshiping God. I can see your kids teaching Bible studies. And if you want it to happen, you've got to see it for yourself. But the Bible's talking about Joseph and Jacob's in the last hours of his life, or the last days anyhow. And he begins to look at his boys. And it says, Joseph, you're a fruitful vine. He said, Joe, when I look at your life, I see productivity. He said, Joe, when I look or glance into your life, I see promise. He said, Joseph, when I look into your life, I see a young man that does not live for himself, but lives outside of himself. God is looking for a people that are not so self-consumed with the selfie type place that we're living here in the United States. You know, they even have addictions for taking selfies. No, that one's not good. No, that's not good. Somebody give me some hair, I'll take me another selfie. Click, hey, that's good. But God is looking for a church that is not so self-consumed that they become a cancer and it begins to eat of itself. But God is looking for a river that will freely receive the power and the glory of God, but will still have an outlet to pour out of that glory of God. But he said, Joe, he said, I see fruit in your life. And it went on to say, it said, a vine planted near a spring, planted near its source of power, planted in strong apostolic doctrine, grounded in truth, grounded in grace, grounded in love. It said, Joe, you're not only productive, but you're grounded. You're not moving from this church to that church. And you're not looking for another doctrine, but you've received a revelation of who he is. And you're not moving or swaying from that. Grounded, planted near the source of power, not looking for another church that will give me permission to sin, but making a commitment and a connection to the source of power. So he's a productive vine. He's planted near a spring. But where are his branches? The Bible says that his branches went over the wall. The Bible says his capacity to reach went outside of himself. The Bible says that the fruit that was on the end of the branches was not so much known inside his family, but worked out there. Let me break it down just real quick. Joseph was fruitful. Joseph was planted, but his branches reached over the wall. What is the wall? The wall, who is on the other side of the wall? The ones on the other side of the wall, they're the ones that are not in the church. And a church that is fruitful, a church that is productive, will allow its fruit not just to be seen in the glory of a conversation or a spiritual service like this, but on Monday morning, when you get yourself out of bed and you go to work, that fruit, that spirit, that love, that joy goes over the wall. We need a breakthrough of the Holy Ghost in this place. We need a breakthrough of love and compassion that will begin in here and go out there. I told you this morning, I could smell the scent of the field in this place because we have laborers working in the field of harvest. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know that God's got you here for a reason. And when you watch the life of Jesus Christ, there was something that was so evident in his life. The Bible says that he was moved with compassion. Compassion has movement. Compassion doesn't stay within itself, but compassion has feet. Everything that Jesus did was intentional. There's not a word in this book that was not pre-planned. There wasn't a step that Jesus took that was not already ordained. When he woke up in the morning, he said, I must needs go to Samaria. Why? Because he knew that there was a woman at the well that was needing to have his love dumped on her. The Bible says that he came to seek and to search those that were lost. It was an intentional life. And in a world where we've got to be politically correct And in a world where we've got to watch what we say and what we watch what we do, and we should. There's one thing that this world cannot stop us from doing, and that is loving them. Let that sink in a second. When you watch the life of Jesus, there was constant outflowing of love that he poured upon everyone that he came in contact with. They rejected him. They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. But they could not stop his love for humanity. He forced his love. He pressed his love. And they couldn't stop it. Listen, I love you. You know I love you. I love you, sir. I love you, my friend. He knows I love you. Pastor Claude, I love you. Let me tell you something. It's my choice to love. It's my decision to intentionally love. It's your decision whether you receive that love. As the church of Madison, Wisconsin, as the church that is turning this world upside down, as this church that flows in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, there is something that must be released from the belly of that church. And that is an unconditional love for this world. They can reject you. They can beat you. They can shut the door in your face when you want to teach them a Bible study. But they cannot stop your love for them. It's their decision whether they receive that love. That's not your problem. Your problem, or you got a problem, if you cannot love. You know what? This last term in Burkina Faso, I have lost my fear of death. We fly to Niger where it's hard. 99% hardcore Muslim. We have to fly there because Al-Qaeda would take my head off if I crossed the border. But I've come to a place in my life, and let all heaven hear what I'm about to say. They can take my head off, but they cannot keep me from loving them. If Jesus could love me enough to go to a cross, if Jesus could say, let them put that thorn on my head. If Jesus could say, let them do what they got to do. I will not stop loving them. And we all stand. Can we just raise our hands and receive what the Lord has to say? We receive it, Lord. We believe it. Maybe you've never received the love of God. I want you just to begin to receive God's love. I receive your love, Lord. I receive your love, Lord. Receive your love, Lord. The Dead Sea is dead because the Dead Sea has no output. It only receives. And a saint of God that does not allow love, anointing, virtue to flow out, you create a dam in your spirit. And eventually, that source of power becomes stagnant and dead. And nothing can live there. If you were to go to the Dead Sea today, you would not be able to find fish living and swimming in that water because it does not produce life. In fact, it's a hostile environment where nothing can live. We must be vessels of honor, filled to the brim, and then allow God to flow through us. God will not leave you empty if you will allow yourself to empty yourself.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to give you a chance to respond to this, but we do want to take an offering for the Cantrells. If the ushers could come at this time, how it works to get them overseas in the United Pentecostal Church. We have partners in missions. We do currently support them on a monthly basis. But if you felt the tug of your heart for the country of Burkina Faso and you want to, as a family, add to that amount, we would love to increase our PIM. Please just write that, your name and the monthly amount that you would like to sponsor them. Drop it in the offering. If you are going to, again, donate $250 or more to get one of these prints, please make your check out to Calvary Gospel Church. Indicate that on there, and that will go toward their Bible school. So let's go ahead and, brethren, take the offering. As the offering plate passes you, we want you to respond. If you are in need of a physical touch tonight, we want to encourage you up here. Come on the your left. Ministers will pray with you. If you have a situation in your life that you need just some answers for, you need to see God's love in your life, come in to the middle section here again. We will pray with you. If you've never received the Lord's love, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, been baptized, in Jesus' name, come on the right here again. As the pass plate, the plate passes you, please respond, Brother Control.
Let's go ahead and begin to move forward, and we're just going to give ourselves to the Lord. Just pray, God, increase my capacity to love. Increase my capacity to love. You know, when we landed in Burkina Faso, we were there for 2 short years, and they gave us the country of Niger. And I really had to pray, God, help me to love 16 million more people. And you know, He began to do that. But I believe in a service like this, God can call young people to the mission field. I believe in a service like this, when we give ourselves to the Lord, God can restore marriages and heal of addictions. I believe in a service like this that God can change you radically in your mind and your thinking. I believe that in a service like this, mothers and fathers who have got backslidden children can believe again that they can be saved. Can we ask the entire church to come forward? Let's get in the presence of God. Let's get in the presence of God. Why don't you find someone to pray with? Let's help somebody over the wall. Let's help somebody get over the wall. In the name of Jesus. Father, use me, Lord. Father, use me, Lord. Use our family together. Help us, God, to reach our neighborhoods.
Your